Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Do you ever experience the upset and frustration of doing something around your family home, some family task, chore, something you did for the kids, for your queen, whatever, and you're there, you've done the job, and your queen comes in and she doesn't see or recognize or validate what you've done, but she points out the one pot that you didn't wash in the 30 things that you did wash. She notices what you haven't done. She doesn't give you the praise that you're needing. Have you ever noticed yourself, you know, you do it and your queen just doesn't say anything? It's ignored. Have you ever noticed yourself seeking praise? Like you actually, she doesn't see it, but you go, you know, it's like, oh, did you see I cleaned the backyard? And there's a waiting and anticipation in you to get something from her. But very often, it doesn't come as sweetly as you'd really like. So, yeah, and in general, do you find that your best never seems to be good enough for your queen? And the last one is, do you find yourself feeling entitled to a bit more of the good stuff coming from your queen? A bit more praise, a bit more validation, because why? Deep down, it's probably valid. You feel, well, you're doing a lot more than what your dad did and what you're definitely and what your granddad did. You know, you're doing more of the parenting tasks and chores than ever before. You're doing more of the cooking. You're doing more of the stuff around the house. You're just doing more. But you don't seem to be getting any positive feedback or nothing near what you believe you're entitled to. If you're experiencing any of these, welcome to the club of modern husbands. This is such a common frustration for men, doing so much more than the generations before us, but it never seems good enough for our queens. So what the hell is going on here? You know, if you're like me, for years and years, 12, 13 years, and hey, I'm going to be talking about recent revelations in my own journey of relating with tasks and chores that I'm doing around the house and home for my family, for my queen, for my kids, etc. But, you know, up until that revelation, I definitely had this way of relating with tasks that, you know, I was doing so much stuff and I felt I grieved. Deep down, I felt a resentment. It's like, God, I'm doing all this stuff and fuck, come on, I deserve more. Why, you know, why is it not enough? Why are you not singing and dancing around in praise of me? Because I felt I was being such a good guy, ticking so many boxes diligently. It's like, Christ, and then you just talk about the thing I forgot in town, but I got those 12 other items and I went to two shops out of my way, but I forgot the one thing you asked, and I get so upset. So it's a real crux, an emotional psychological crux for the vast majority of husbands. Definitely, if you're listening into this and you've been experiencing some struggle in your marriage on a spectrum from a bit of struggle, but you want to get to the next level, all the way down to the struggle to the point at which, you know, you might be considering drop kicking your queen out of marriage, or she might be drop kicking your ass out of marriage, whatever it is, wherever you're at. The human experience is that, and I want to put this out there, we do have a need for validation. We have a human need to be validated in our human experience, what we're experiencing inside, and we do need validation for our efforts. The entire point in all of this episode is, It's how you go about meeting that need that makes the entire difference. What I'd like to state from the start is seeking validation for doing a task invalidates your intention for doing it. This is the queenly approach. In all of this, the context here within this movement, the podcast, Heroic Husbands Men Circles, is it's all about kingship and taking extreme ownership. It's about embodying high-end leadership. And in high-end leadership, I've spoken before, I'm so inspired by, there was a Buddhist teaching, give all profit and gain to others, take loss and defeat on yourself. And I sort of thought, God, that's a bit of an extreme thing, but I was taking it on board completely with, it might seem extreme to be talking to guys about it in the beginning, but I was noticing, God, this is really working. I felt actually validated when I heard world expert on leadership, Simon Sinek, recently quoting something very, very similar about leaders in companies. Wasn't the exact words, but the essence was the same. It's like, you know, when give all the praise and the honoring, the wins is for the team. And if there's a loss and a defeat, hey, you're the leader. The buck stops with you. It's this incredible serving ethos. Now, this might seem jarring for you, but stick with it. I'm a results-based human practitioner. Everything I practice, I'm looking for the results that I gain. The spectacular results that happen for the guys that stick to the course of this type of work. Some guys back off. Hey, they don't. If you back off from the flame in any endeavor, if you back off from the intensity of training in the gym, you're not going to get the benefits. The spectacular results of the wave of guys that are coming through in the podcast, the Marriage Transformation Heroes series, they're the guys that embrace this work. The results show. We are a results-based movement. So stick with this for the course of it. I'm going to introduce the story that I've had first. In my life with my queen and our kids, about 6 years ago, we purchased a house in rural Roscommon, Ireland, out in the middle of nowhere, very in the wilderness. We absolutely love the place. We have about 2.5-3 acres that serves as garden, and there's a couple of acres for the 8 horses that we have. So horses as a way of life, and garden, self-sufficiency as an idea, and just having the beauty of a garden, it's quite a central way of life. The ideal is that it's a way of life. Yet my way of relating with it was definitely a nice guy. Up until quite recently, there's been a transition away from it much more over the last 2-3 years, but there was a definite revelatory experience that I had that is going to serve every single one of you listening in. So stay tuned. It's like my way of relating with the garden and the horses was, I was seeing that as, well, that's what Matilda and the girls like. You know, I had the stories. I'm not much of a garden guy. So, and the horses, you know, I've had conversations with my queen. It's like, hey, we got really clean and clear. It's like the reason we have that many horses, I didn't know how to say no, but, you know, you're my queen's relationship with her mother. I mean, my queen's podcast is Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers. She had an extremely, and is still an extremely narcissistic woman, is her mother. So it's like, that was her way of maintaining any bit of a relationship with her mother, was like to have more and more horses. It was the only topic. Her mother was big into horses. So we have this garden and these horses. But my way of relating was like, anytime I was doing something for the horses, maintaining, mucking out the stables, cleaning the yard, or for the garden, I was always coming from, you know, I'm doing this for the enjoyment of my queen and the girls. I'm doing this for, like, anytime I do the horses. And I thought that was enough. It was like, yeah, well, I'm not into the horses. I'm doing it for you because I'm a good guy. I'm a loving husband, loving father. You know, I'll extend love to the horses. They're sentient beings. Their welfare. And it would take me to a point, and in recent years, I took the resentment away. It's like I was actually exceptionally resentful for the amount of time, the amount of energy, the amount of financial resources that were being that were seeping into these endeavors. So I took the explicit resentment away, and yet I still wasn't giving myself fully because I was doing it for them. And I didn't know, I didn't find any intrinsic joy in what I was doing. But I was writing off, hey, I'm doing it for ye. I'm doing it for my queen. And the garden was the same. And in fact, the garden, I would do quite a bit. I was doing like the donkey workers and, hey, you need me to dig up a bed? I'll do that. Physically strong, it's a good workout. I'll do that. You need me to weed? I'll do that. You need me to bring wheelbarrows of horse manure down to the new flower beds? I'll do that. But honestly, I was finding that I'd do it, but again, it wasn't high on my priority list. And in fact, quite a bit of the time, my queen would have to remind me several times, if not like, way too many times. And if I did it, I'd be sort of doing it, but man, I wasn't bounding out the door feeling good about it. It was like, hey, I'm doing this because why? It was extrinsically motivated. I was doing it for somebody else. And when I'd get the job done, I remember having this deep need to go to make sure that my queen took a look at what I'd done to get her to say something fucking nice about it. It was like, sort of the inner story, if I spoke it, guys, was like, I'm after bringing down 12 big heavy wheelbarrows, poor me, like I brought them all the way down the garden. It's like, baby, did you see the new bed that I set for you? And I'd walk in home. She'd been doing something at home. It's like, I'd even sometimes be like, hey, like, do you want to come down and see the new bed? And she'd come down and she'd be like, oh yeah, it's, I was like, oh, thank you so much. But it was like, it's like for the amount of effort I put into it, I never really got praise or the validation that I felt I deserved. It's like looking back, it's like there was a handbrake in my queen's nervous system that she was there, but she wouldn't light up. She'd never really light up with like a unbridled joy. And I was wanting that, but it never really went there. And stuff sort of it goes around the house as well, but it's like with the horses, I do all the work on the horses in the yard, but brushing the yard at the end for me was sort of like this pain in the ass thing. It's like I'm already after mucking out 8 stables. I'm already after putting new shaving. It's like it's a lot of work in that mentality that I had. So I would end, and the final job was brushing the cement, the flooring in front of the stables. And hey guys, like it definitely when you're not really wanting to do it and you already think that you've done your task and enough of it and that you're feeling a little bit tired, and I would leave it or I'd semi do it. So my queen, commented on that at times, and I remember feeling like fucking disgruntled going, like, I get it, baby, but I was tired that day, and like, I had the stables done, and but there was this disgruntlement in me and a sort of an upset, and I could get her point, but there was a part going, like I've done enough, it's like I've ticked the box. I mean, the horses are fine, yeah, whatever, it's like there was a whateverness in my nervous system going, well, I haven't done it to absolute completion like you'd want, but I mean, they're your horses. This was my attitude. Again, I had this emptiness inside myself feeling, it's like, Jesus, like she just sees that I haven't done the last 5 minutes of a brushing, but like there was an hour and a half of work up until that last 5 minutes. I mean, why focus on the 5 minutes? Like, why are you focusing on the wrong shit? So I had this way of relating with the garden and the horses. I was ticking the boxes quite a bit. I was doing, what I felt was a lot of work, and in a way, I was. I was doing a lot of stuff and investing time and energy into it, but I wasn't getting what I felt I deserved in response. Touch base with yourselves. Like again, like in the beginning, are you having that experience? No, I think without exception, every single guy out there that I've spoken to this in circle or one-on-one, they're like, yeah, like, I mean, yeah, Jesus. Just the other day, nearly every guy will come with a just the other day example, so fresh in memory because it happens that often. It's like, oh, just the other day, man, like I was minding the kids, she was late at work, I minded the kids, I got the dinner prepared, and she gave out because I didn't prepare the guest bedroom for her, for family coming that she'd asked me to. It's like, man, I did all the other stuff, and she talks about, the bedroom that I hadn't prepared. It's like, fuck, I didn't get around to it, like, whatever, but I had to do all these other things. Nearly every guy will have that just the other day example. Just the other week, or some common one thing, like me. It's like, yeah, man, it's always the horses. Some guys will have it. It's always the whatever the topic is. She's always at me on that point. So how do we turn this around completely? Well, one thing that I read was book by Dan DePaney, and it's coming really central in, actually, what did, it's Dan DePaney, I believe, it's The Power of Unwavering Focus. I have it down in the kitchen where I was doing my notes for this episode. Don't have the exact title, but check Dan DePaney up. DANDAPANI. Dan DePaney, absolute badass. And he was talking about unwavering focus. That's the topic of the book. And I did a deep dive in it. And then his guru gave him three guidelines for when he was doing a task. And it has been an absolute revelation how powerful these guidelines are. Number one, finish what you start. Number two, finish it well, beyond your expectations, no matter how long it takes. And number three, when you've done number one and number two, do a little bit more than you think you can. When I was reading the book and when I read those, I honestly, it's like we talk in this movement, I talk a lot about heroic humility. Humility. We f are so frightened by that term by because we associate it with humiliation, social humiliation, which is horrible and disgusting. However, humility is a key trait of great leaders. It comes from humus, the ground of truth, to where you're truly at. It was a deeply humbling experience to read these three steps for myself. Finish what you start. I was like, yeah, I sort of do, but like quite often it's a bit like the brushing of the yard outside the stables. It's like, yeah, I'm not actually finishing what I'm starting. And I it started lighting up so many areas where, man, like you sort of semi finish it. And you're thinking because you've put so much energy into it that, just leaving that dirty pot that it's greasy and it's just icky and horrible, just leave that fucker, like you've done enough. I started realizing there were a lot of places that I wasn't fully technically finishing what I start. And then when I looked at the others, like, fuck, even on point number one, like there's a lot of places where I'm not technically fully finishing. Then point two is like, finish it well, beyond your expectations, no matter how long it takes. I started relating, going, man, like there's a part of my nervous system that's like, can I do this in the least amount of time possible? Because I'd rather be doing something else type attitude. Touch base with yourselves, guys, is can you relate with doing household chores and doing these things that your queen has asked for you, like the parenting tasks, cooking, cleaning, fucking cleaning out the shed, stuff in the garden, errands into town, that there's some part that you're ticking the box, but it's just like, if I could do this in 5 minutes, not 20 minutes, man, I'd fucking do it in five. But like, how often do you finish it well beyond your expectations? I know for myself, it's like, whoa, okay, Mark, like you never finish it really well. Rarely, beyond your expectations. No, it's not happening. And then number three, I'm like, well, obviously, if I'm struggling to finish, like to tick box number one, finish what you start. Number two had me going, fuck, well, that's a rare, rare time when I finish something really well beyond my expectations. Then number three, well, it was obsolete. Do a little bit more than you think you can do. It was humbling, guys. It was humbling. I was like, okay, well, this is a standard. And Tony Robbins is all about standards. Like he's like he laughs himself. He's like, people pay, $5,000-$10,000 to get to one of his trainings. And he's like, yeah, the simplest message, the core message is raise your standards. He even laughs. He's like, oh, thank you, Tony. I paid you that much money to just for you to tell me that. And he's like, yeah. So I had that feeling when I read the book and I read this portion several times, that humbling effect of, wow, this could really change things. But it was still theoretical. So I got to work, guys. And what I'm going to talk about now is like the full wave of reflections that came through me when I got to work. I started going out in the garden and doing the horses, and I started rinsing everything through. Hey, Mark, if you're going to do this, finish what you start. Like, finish it. Brush the damn yard. And then when I had brushed the damn yard, I stopped calling it a damn yard. I was like, finish it well, well beyond your expectations, no matter how long it takes. There's parts of in the brushing, there's awkward parts, like against, there's a part where there's timber. I'm trying to describe something you don't need. There's an awkward part, there's an edge. And I'd never, there would always be a collection of muck and shit there, and then weeds would grow in it because there's all the organic matter, and it just looked shitty. And like my queen lass, I'm a Virgo by star sign, I like order. So I've never really liked the look of that. When I read the book and the first day I went out intentionally, I was like, okay, I'm going to start practicing this. I'm going to make this a way of life. I finished what I started. So I finished the job. But then I saw that line. I was like, wow, that just doesn't look good. So with that time, like in that point, no matter how long it takes, there was a part of me going, I've got to get back in. There's like, I had a work segment, creative work of writing afterwards. I was like, I'm just going to take 10 minutes more. So it took 10 minutes more and I cleaned off that strip and it looked brilliant and I felt really good about it. And the thing about this was my queen didn't ask me to do that. I was doing this for me. And it felt good, guys. I was looking at it and I took a couple of moments. I literally took a couple of moments just drinking it in. And then it was like, okay, but I went beyond my expectations. Do a little bit more than you think you can. And then I looked at this corner where the tools, we would put the tools, and man, there was dirt and there was like crap that I had looked at so many times going, oh, someday I'm going to clean out that corner. But it's a corner that's actually in open view every single day we go out. Every single day we walk out, no matter if it's to do stuff with the horses or out the backyard or it's like this shitty corner. It had become shitty. It was an eyesore. And it was weighing on me for actually, we're here 6 years. I think it had been a mess always. It just was one of those corners that collected shit. And because that became the habit, it's like any time myself, my queen, whoever would have something that, well, Jesus, where do I put this? It's like in the laziness, just put it in that corner. It became that corner. It's like the spare bedroom type example. It's never a spare bedroom. It ends up being filled full of shit. So I was about to go in going, hey, I've ticked number two. I finished it well, beyond my expectations, no matter how long it took. I've got that strip. It looks good. I'm feeling pleasure. Let's scoot in. It's like, no, fuck it. Do it a little bit more than you think you can. Guys, I got to work. It took me 20 minutes that corner. Again, this is like 20 minutes to tidy up a corner that had been an eyesore for years. It took me 20 minutes. I attacked it aggressively and it looked amazing. Now, at the end of doing these three things, I felt this overwhelming desire inside of myself. Like, ultimately, it was a neediness. Because I had done it looked spectacular, and hey, it was in the yard that sort of related that those tools in the corner were related to the horses, related to the gardening. I felt a very deep, visceral need to go into my queen and go, hey, do you want to come out and see what I've done? It was like really strong. That impulse, guys, trust, like I'm really strong. It was visceral. It was like really moving me. I think I even took a few steps to go to the house to call her out, and I stopped. And I literally asked, I was like, Mark, what the fuck is happening here? I said, like, whoa. Like you've done this job. I mean, I question myself. It's like you're actually feeling. There's a part of you feeling really a deep sense of satisfaction, fulfillment. And it's like, Matilda, like, she hasn't even asked you to do it. So it's like, who are you doing that? Who did you do that for? And the revelation for me, guys, was like, there was two parts of me. There was one part that is like my sovereign king, my soul, my heart, me as a man. That was the part of me that, read that book. That was the part of me that read that those specific guidelines from Dandapani's guru that has transformed Dandapani's life. So it inspired me. So I was like, that sovereign part was the part that said, let's fucking get to work and, finish what I start, finish it well beyond expectations, no matter how long it takes, and do a little bit more than I think I can. And it was that part that was really fulfilled, looking at the job going, what a fucking job. Proud of myself. Like self-esteem on a high. Like feeling really just so satisfied and fulfilled and whole as a man. But there also was this other part. So I decided, no, fuck that. It's like, this is a new way of life. I'm not going to ever again follow that neediness, that impulse to go seeking validation. And I've been doing it for years. So this is like a transformation over the last 4 or 5 months of my life. I was like, I'm not going to do it. So I've been trialing that ever since. Now, what's interesting in all of this, it's like it's the psychology. I love psychology. I think there's so much that we need to deepen in to understand what's happening inside of ourselves. I want to give a metaphor to hopefully, I do expect that will make it clear for you the energetics of it. Needing validation, again, it's a human need, but it's how you meet that need is crucial. Look at seeking validation from your queen after doing a task. Like, it's like an IV drip. The validation is like an IV drip. In hospital, the intravenous drip, by and large, it's for when you're deeply dehydrated. So when you're really dehydrated, okay, we'll st the medical team sticks up an IV drip. Link you up. There's the bottle of fluid, has all the super cool electrolytes, etc., etc., and you get rehydrated. So is it shameful to have a need for hydration? No. Is it shameful and wrong to have a need for validation? No. However, when there's a pattern of seeking validation from your queen, like me, 4 years. Seeking a pattern is like, oh, I've done the thing, like, did you see it? Or you're just waiting silently in the unspoken expectation that she should see it when she comes in from work, that you've tidied the whole kitchen. And she comes in and she's just talking about her things and she doesn't give you what you want and you get upset. Seeking validation from your queen for stuff that you've done around the home. It's like seeking hydration from an IV drip. It's fucking needy. It's exception. It's dysfunctional. It's not wrong if you're in a desperate point to seek an IV drip, but imagine your queen, repeatedly coming home to you, and you're there. And your skin is all fucking tightened up, and you have all the signs of dehydration again. And you're like, they're going, oh, baby, ring the doctors. Like, I mean, I need a bag, I need an IV drip. It's like, it's not wrong that you're physiologically dehydrated. Like, I mean, okay, you need water. But what she'd be there is like, just drink some damn water. Like, the fuck you need an IV drip? That's just like plain insanity. Meet your own needs. Drink some damn water. Now, the boy bitch part of us, from the seeking validation perspective, is, what's wrong about needing some water? I'm dehydrated, for Christ's sake. I need some water. Give me some water. Now, get the IV drip. Your queen's attitude of just drink some damn water is like, we feel so upset with it. But that's leadership. A leader a masculine leader, a leader of a family. And hey, if you're in business, a CEO of the company, this is what leadership is about. A powerful leader charges his own battery. Of course, this can be relevant for women, but it's guys listening in. You've got to charge your own battery, and you've got to self-validate. And if you need validation beyond that, get a coach. In Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, that's what I say to the guys. It's like, if you're feeling low, man, that's okay. You know, if, with the water thing, if you're feeling dehydrated, that's okay. But just don't seek the water from your queen. Like, if you're feeling low on validation, reach out to one of the guys. Say it in group. We literally validate guys. We'll validate each other. We'll celebrate each other, appreciate each other, love bomb each other. It's like, it's a beautiful thing. And then we challenge. But we build each other's foundation. It's to build a foundation of validation in a guy's nervous system where he feels validated. He feels seen and heard in his human experience. He's seen. His efforts are celebrated. It's like, man, hey, you mightn't have transformed your marriage just yet, but the way you're showing up, see those efforts, you've made that change, you're making progress. We validate it. But we take the load off the queen being the source of validation. It's not wrong to need validation. It's just seeking praise and seeking validation from your queen for doing something. It's a real desperate weakness in you as a leader. It does the opposite of inspiring trust. It inspires, man, he's just not trustworthy. It ends up, you're relating with her. The elephant in the room is, you're relating with her like she's your mom. And if you get to the root of it all, hey, that's the energetic, that's the unmet emotional psychological needs of nearly most guys out there is, you know, mom just didn't validate me enough, or there was a validation, but not a validation for the things that I really needed validation for. It can be confusing for guys. It's like, oh, my mom was always very positive around me. Then, you know, give me 10 more minutes conversation with you and you start seeing major blind spots in your childhood. Where, yeah, she validated me for the things that were pleasing to her, but man, the validation for my sexuality, the validation for career choices and what I wanted to create in the world that she didn't understand, no. And that, like a lot of stuff, she didn't validate me for my really deeply masculine behaviors, my aggression, my outlandishness, my confidence, all of this type of stuff. Is like, okay. So I want to contrast this to make the point, you know, it's night and day. What I've discovered is there's an entirely different way of looking at a task from a king perspective and a boy bitch. The king looks at it from an intrinsic motivation perspective versus the boy bitch looks at it from extrinsic. What that means, intrinsic, is it's inside of yourself. You're looking at the task and you're like, I'm going to do this parenting task. I'm going to clean the kitchen. I'm going to prepare this meal. I'm going to do, and you put in whatever the long list, and you have a long list of things to do, tend to. I might call them responsibilities. But you've got the opportunity to look at them in a different way. So intrinsically, it's like, I get to do this. This is an honor to get to clean up this kitchen. Why? Because, well, there's a fucking load of guys out there that haven't had the capacity or the luck, the fortune to have a woman that said yes. You know, you went down one knee and said yes, you have a wife. Some guys, their wife died of fucking cancer a few years ago, so you're here and it's an honor to get to serve your family. It's an honor as a man to show up and embody leadership. It's an honor. You get to do it. Versus extrinsic motivation is, hey, the boy bitches, this is a chore. It's not an honor. It's a chore. Oh, I've got to do this. You know, I've got to do it. And everything that you do from that state of being, it's going to be an effort. And it's going to, you're working so much against your internal resistance that, of course, it's like me in the yard, guys. Of course, coming from that extrinsic motivation, I'm doing this for my wife. It's like, you know, I'm such a guy. Look at me. Hey, baby, don't worry. I can do the stable. So my story would be good, but my inner energetic was, boy bitch resistance of, I'm doing it, but I've better things to put my time at. I'll do it for you, baby. But the inner story was, I've a long list of things and shit I'd rather be doing now. But I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I'm working so much in those moments was against my own inner resistance that, of course, by the time I got to the end of eight stables, my energy levels were down. Not because I was worn out. For God's sake, it's like, it's human endurance. I could endure like 5 more hours of that level of work. What was really exhausting me was my inner resistance. And hence, I'd feel validated, valid in myself, going, yeah, but I won't brush the end of the conga. I'm tired. Come on, I need to get in. Job done. It wasn't fucking done, but I was feeling tired, not because of the task, because of my boy bitch resistant energy. Looking, my mindset was, this is a chore. I've got to do it. Feel into it, guys. Get real with yourselves. How much of you is looking at the tasks from some shape or form? Again, get into the nitty-gritty. Some guys give provisional answers like, oh no, I'm always positive around the place. Really? 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 Complete, a monk in a monastery completely with the task at hand. Then, like when you look at how you go at the work, unwavering focus until completion. I've brought it in the recent episode. Its presence is unwavering focus on the person or task at hand to completion. When you start coming from an intrinsic motivation and you're placing your awareness completely on the task for the joy of doing the task, you enter a flow state as seemingly mundane tasks will. You'll enter into flow. You lose track of time. You just There's a joy in the doing of it. It mightn't be your favorite pastime. Oh, I love gaming. I love jujitsu. It mightn't be your favorite pastime that naturally just throws you in. But the thing is, it naturally throws you into flow and it becomes joyful when you completely surrender and you use it as a practice of unwavering focus into completion. The boy bitch is like, I have more important things to do. Because the boy bitch persona is going around sort of resenting almost everything he's doing. Even when he's doing something that he's enjoying, he's like, oh, but I barely get time to do this and I have all this other stuff. He never surrenders fully into the joy of life. Whereas kingship, the most important thing is what I'm doing now. The masculine practice is embodied consciousness. It's being present. This is like, again, if you don't like this task, if you don't like this podcast or this approach, well, number one, not a good idea because this works. This works profoundly well. It lines up with all the masculine feminine dynamics and teachings from millennia up until now. But if you don't like it, again, I've said it, go to another podcast, go to, social media and read some memes or read some like one post of, oh, well, that seems sort of inspiring. But it's like, how do you put it into practice? What This is the most meaningful thing. I've spoken before in a podcast about entitlement versus enlightenment. Entitlement, I feel entitled. She should praise me. She should validate me. She should like honor my cleaning off the stables and stop giving me shit for, just I didn't do the last 5 minutes, like for God's sake. Feeling entitled. And yet, my question within myself is, how's that working out for you, Mark? It's not. Well, enlightenment, and forget about the outlandish, spectacular ways we can look at enlightenment, but feeling amazing in the now. I look at enlightenment now. Irrespective, and I bring that attitude of I've got to experience enlightenment, inner peace, bliss, happiness, self-esteem, independent of my queen's opinion, good or bad of me. I must be that rock. I will never be the mountain in the storm for my queen. The mountain in the storm, dependable, trustworthy for my kids. The mountain in the storm for you guys. Guys that are in the circle or you guys listening in, one-on-one coaches, the men in my community and the people in my community. I'll never be that mountain if my core center is depending on my wife coming in and going, "Oh, you cleaned the kitchen. Oh, I'm so, like, you're so trustworthy. You're amazing. Oh, you did dinner before, you know, I came back, or you knew it was bath time and you didn't say anything and you did. Oh, I feel, oh, wow." You know, it's like, the fuck is that about? Again, and I've done it up until recently. Like, there's this part of me from today, guys, is like going, what the fuck was that about, Mark? God damn. That was so mediocre. The thing in all of this that I want to put back to you is, again, I'm always on results. This is not theory. I spoke to my queen recently, literally in the last week. It actually was what she said to me, guys, was what inspired me to do this episode. I knew I've got to speak to the guys about this. I was like, baby, I asked her feedback. I ask her feedback. It's a way of life for me. I was speaking about the story and I was like, what has that experience been for you? How I have been, my practice has become that I'm eradicating, you know, seeking your feedback at the end of when I do something. You know, the examples of, you know, I'm practicing not ever saying, "Oh, did you see, you know, the corner cleaned? Oh, did you like dinner?" You know, and like what I was really always looking for is like, give me praise. You know, I put my best into this. What has that been like for you emotionally and psychologically as my queen that I have, since I've stopped doing that and I'm coming from inside of myself, I'm doing it for the pleasure of the task myself. What has that been like? And she sighed. She's like, ah. Oh. She literally, guys, it was like a weight off her shoulders. She's like, to paraphrase, it was quite a beautiful conversation, but to paraphrase the core essence, she's like, it's so freeing. It has been so freeing for her that she feels this weight off her shoulders. She was explaining to me, it's like this felt pressure of having to tell me something nice. That's like, she was saying those things. She would say nice things down the years, you know, when I did stuff, when I sought that validation, hey. But she was like, just, there was no pressure. There's no pressure there anymore. And when she finally comes upon it, and it could be a couple of hours later or a couple of days later before she's in that part of the garden, and she then sees the flower bed. And because I've been enjoying this, guys, you'd want to see the transformation that's happening in the garden. I've actually become the number one gardener. Like, almost, it's like, I'm fucking loving doing this. I'm plucking weeds out. It's like I've transformed the entire garden. It's actually quite astonishing. I'm loving the horses when I'm out there. I love the yard. It's such a pleasure. So I've done infinitely more, and I feel like with 10% of the energy. But what she said is like, when she eventually gets to see what I've done a few hours, a couple of days later, but she sees it and I'm not there, or even if I am there, she has the freedom to enjoy it all the more. She said that the felt satisfaction she has as a wife, knowing I've done it for myself, that me as her king, as her husband, because I've done it and I'm self-validating myself and that's my practice, and whether she sees it or not, I'm grounded in myself. I'm the mountain. She's welled up. She said that it's viscerally infinitely more pleasurable to then witness what I've done. And yes, from there, she comes in and she'll say, "Oh, you know, I finally saw, when did you do that?" It's like, "Oh, baby, you know, I did that bed like you had asked me to do it, and I did it like the morning after you said it." She's like, "I just saw it. It's amazing." She gives me the validation that I was always looking for. but it's so viscerally felt, guys. It's juicy. It's the juiciest validation. It's the juiciest praise, because I've taken the boy bitch weight off her. I've taken her from playing my mommy role, you know. I've done this, mom. Tell me it's good art. You know, I've cleaned my bedroom, mom. Praise me. It's like I've taken that pressure off her and I'm finally being more of a man, more of a king. Guys, this transforms so much. My encouragement coming into landing is start thinking of intrinsic motivation. Start thinking of yourself as a king. What would a king do now? He certainly wouldn't do a task and then go, hey, did you see? If your queen gives you feedback and says, yeah, but you didn't, you forgot that thing in town. You know, it's like you remember the five other things, but you know, like you didn't do the one thing I said that was really important. Chase the storm or the storm chases you. That's a mantra in our movement. Chase the storm. Baby, I forgot that one thing. You told me that was important and I've forgotten it. I'm sorry for that. I see that it's actually completely inadequate for me to have done things that I felt were important, but then forget the one thing that you said was most important. Your queen comes in and gives you feedback. Don't see it as criticism. She gives you feedback going, hey, you've tidied up all the dishes, but man, you didn't. You left that one pot. Like, why? And she's upset. Don't go with the boy bitch resentment and off, or, you know, like, poor me, and you get disgruntled for the evening. Attack the feedback. Baby, I didn't do it to completion. I really honour your upset now. You seem upset. I honour that. Because why? I am capable of so much more. And then start bringing the ideas, guys, of there's three things you need to do. You need to finish what you start. Number two, finish it well, beyond your expectations, no matter how long it takes. And number three, do a little bit more than you think you can. I've alluded to it. When you start practicing this intrinsically from within yourself, you will have a level of motivation and a level of self-esteem within days, if a couple of weeks for sure, of practicing this as a way of life. You're going to be filling your own battery. You're going to have your own hydration. You're not going to need an external fucking IV drip to boost your motivation, to boost your feeling good about yourself. You're going to be in beast mode. And from there, that is a way of life. I'm telling you, it spreads into your work. You finish the article, you finish the email, you finish that, you know, that client's proposal, you go above and beyond, you do a job, and the results start coming in, and you start enjoying life, and you start having like a fucking nuclear reactor level of energy inside of you. You always have that. That's your spirit, that's your soul. But we've got to hack out of our system, hack out of our mindset this boy bitch entitlement fucking bullshit. It does not work. It's not leadership. It's not manly. It's not kingship. It's nothing near the glory of how powerful and awesome and amazing you are. So let's start this initiation. Get focus in, unwavering focus on the task to completion and steps 2 and 3. That's will put you in the upward spiral, not only in your marriage, because your queen will start being able to trust you and feel safe that he's now in leadership mode. She won't understand what the fuck happened. She won't care, but she'll just be safe in your presence knowing he's taking care of shit, which will allow her surrender into feminine mode. It will transform absolutely everything. I didn't think I could get to 50 minutes on this topic, but honestly, it's the level of passion and desire for me for you guys to experience the massive positive benefits that my marriage, my inner world experience. It's my inner world experience more than anything, but my marriage, it's off the charts, guys. I want you in that upward spiral. If you need support in this, having an external source of validation can definitely be of massive use. Again, I don't want to invalidate that as a human need. External sources of it I'm going to unapologetically point you again and again and again. Why? Because in this movement, lone wolfing does not work. You're going to constantly seek validation from outside of yourself, from your queen. If the queen is the only person that's in any way you have a close relationship with, you're going to seek it from her. When you have a bunch of guys that can validate you, I have my own men's group always. Outside of the groups I'm leading, I seek validation. It's like, hey man, can you just validate me? I've been doing so much and I just love to be seen and heard in how much I'm doing. And a guy will spend a few minutes with me and go, hey Mark, I honor you for what you're doing. It's like, thank you, man. It's needed. But just, you can't have the IV drip being your queen. And the ultimate thing is that you build a life that you don't hit a low that you need an IV drip, that your water source is brotherly love, brotherly support. Lone wolfing does not work. Jump into the podcast description. Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. It takes 20, 30 seconds to apply, get in the call, and forevermore, you'll feel fully hydrated, loved up, validated, to your heart's content, and you'll never need to outsource that to your queen ever again, and she will fucking love you and trust you for it. Guys, in perfect alignment with the mantra of this beautiful, amazing movement, so much love and appreciation to all of you listening in and doing the work that you're doing. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have a beautiful, amazing, kingly day.